This is Jake for KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. We are taking some time off to be with our families for the holidays, and we'll be back in January. In the meantime, we invite you to listen to some of the best of shows and from us at KRBN and the Bo's Nose Show. Wish you a safe and happy holiday. Jay Bolshevich. You can give Jay a call right now at 646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887.
Good evening and welcome. I am your host, Jay Bolshevich, and thank you for listening. To join in the conversation, just dial 746-721-9887 and press 1 to get into the queue. And I'd just like to start out by extending the thoughts and prayers of Lane County to San Bernardino County. Terrible thing that happened there. And our thoughts and prayers are with them. Getting a little less serious, though, and a little bit more local, we've had a lot of news about economic development in the last month here in Lane County. We've got somebody that purchased the Hynix building, and now we've also got a new RV manufacturer that announced they're going to be in Lane County. So my guest tonight is Sarah Case. And Sarah, what exactly is your title with Lane County?
My title to the outside world, because we have classifications at Lane County that really don't mean anything to anybody except us. But my title to the outside world is Economic Development Officer. So that probably doesn't mean much either to a lot of people, but it essentially means I'm here to promote Lane County to the outside world, help businesses who are looking to locate here know that they're welcome and wanted here. But even more importantly, my job is to work with local businesses who are already here in Lane County, who are creating more than 80% of the job creation that's going on in Lane County, to make sure that they thrive here locally and stay here.
Oh, that's great. So what kind of background leads you to being an economic development officer?
Well, I think like most people in this profession, I sort of stumbled into it. Back in my undergrad days, I was really into policy and planning, knew that I really wanted to go into public service in some way, shape, or form. And so I have an undergraduate degree in planning, public policy, and management. I'm a local person, born and raised about 45 minutes south of Eugene, and went to the University of Oregon for my undergrad. I was a city planner for the city of Roseburg for a couple of years, doing land use planning and development and that sort of thing for the city, and then moved up to Portland, did some more land use planning up in the Portland metro area for about 5 years. Before I decided it was time to go back to grad school, and did that right when the recession hit. So a great time to quit a really good job and go back to grad school. But it actually worked out really well for me. So went back to grad school here at the U of O, got a master's in community and regional planning. And before I even went back to grad school, I was hired here at Lane County in the Community and Economic Development Division, and have been here ever since. So I worked my way through grad school. I'm also a mom, so I had a few years that were pretty hectic, doing full-time grad school, almost full-time job, and then being a mom too. So that's what led me here. I've been at the county since 2009, doing, for the most part, this role. It's sort of evolved over time, but for the most part, it's been something similar to what I'm doing now.
Well, great. So let's talk about what's been in the news lately. And probably the big one and most recent one is the announcement that Winnebago is coming to Junction City and has purchased the Country Coach facilities there. So how did we even get, what was the initial contact? Did that come, was there a site consultant involved, or was this something that came through Business Oregon in the state, or did they call us directly?
No, they actually called us directly, which is really fantastic. It's my understanding from talking with the company that they had found the Country Coach property. The Country Coach brand is a well-known brand, and the property is well-known to the industry. And so it was actually, I believe, their Towables division that contacted us first. They had reached out to Country Coach, and Country Coach, because we have such a great relationship, both myself and my counterpart colleague here at the county, Glenda Poling, we've worked with Country Coach for a number of years through a variety of iterations of, just trying to attract folks to that site and fill that building, get it back up to the highest and best use. The Winnebago folks called Country Coach, and Country Coach said, you know what, you guys need to call Lane County. They're gonna be great partners and make this happen. So that, for us, that's like the ultimate compliment. That was wonderful. But Winnebago called. They called us, and we were on it immediately and have worked with them ever since. That was in July. So this actually turned around much faster than normal, and partly because Winnebago saw some really great potential and acted fast, and we're on a quick timeline. That isn't typical. I would say that most of these things take anywhere from a year, 18 months, even longer than that. So this was a really, really quick turnaround. We crammed a lot of things into 6 months worth of work to make this happen. And, we're all really proud of that.
So what exactly is Winnebago proposing to do with the Country Coach site?
Well, they're going to be manufacturing, I believe it's their Class A and Class C products out of that facility. And they're also going to be what I think is, it's an incredible, incredible win for all of us here in Lane County that Winnebago's coming and they're going to create, upwards of 200 jobs in Junction City. I think an even more remarkable point to make, though, is that there are currently about 35 full-time employees that are working out there under the service side of Country Coach. And Winnebago has made a commitment to retain those employees as well and retrain them so that they're knowledgeable in the Winnebago process. So primarily they're going to be manufacturing. I believe it's their Class A and Class C motorhomes out of that site, bringing in 200 jobs, new jobs to the area, and retaining those 35 existing jobs.
So keeping 35 and adding 200 jobs. And what's the pay scale on the jobs they're proposing? Is this, minimum wage, or is this, decent jobs that somebody can actually support a family on?
No, absolutely. I think that's a great point. These are not minimum wage jobs. These are family wage jobs. They will, the hourly jobs, jobs that pay by the hour, are going to range between $16 and $20 an hour. And just for reference, for those that don't sort of play in this field a lot, for reference, the average hourly salary in Lane County is $16.35 an hour. So these are going to be paying at or above the average hourly salary in Lane County. But those are just their hourly employees. They're going to have a number of salaried employees in management, and those jobs will range between $45,000 annually and $125,000 annually. And those are just wages. That doesn't count the benefit package that comes with those. So the average annual salary in Lane County is right at $38,000 a year. So all of their salaried employees are going to be making well in excess of the average annual salary here in Lane County plus benefits.
Yeah, and even the hourly folks are going to be starting out at over $32,000 a year.
Yep.
So that's pretty close to the average, and then they go up above that from there. So that sounds like some really nice jobs to have. And I should just say
when we work with a number of different companies from, you know, all different stages, but, you know, we really do like to focus on these traded sector manufacturing jobs. And what I mean by that is that somebody, a business here locally, is producing some sort of goods. In this instance, it's RVs. They're producing them here locally and then exporting their product outside. So somebody outside of Lane County, outside of the state of Oregon, are purchasing these products. That brings new money into our economy and sort of grows the pie. If you think of our economy as a pie, bringing that new money in, it grows that pie and builds on our economy. We also focus on those sorts of companies, businesses, jobs, because traded sector manufacturing businesses typically pay higher wages, provide family wage jobs, provide those benefits to their employees. And our goal is to make sure the citizens of Lane County are getting paid family wage jobs and being provided benefits.
Yeah, and speaking of benefits, these jobs do come with benefits, as I understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those benefits are not calculated into the numbers that we have. So you know, a person, in management making $45,000 a year, that's just their wage. Above and beyond that, they're getting, you know, vacation time or, you know, some other benefit package, health benefit, those sorts of things. So, you know, really, when you think about their, what we would call their fully loaded wage, it's well in excess of where we are on average here in Lane County.
Yeah, and that's great. And, you know, Winnebago is kind of one of these companies that seem to weather the recession in the RV industry, unlike some other manufacturers. So it's really, they must be doing something right. I understand that one of the things that kind of attracted them here was the fact that we did have a previous RV industry here and there's a workforce available. Is that the case?
Absolutely. When we first talked to them, I don't remember exactly what other states they were looking at, but they had a couple of other locations in mind. And it seems to me that, Texas and California, those are typically, you know, you see a lot of that in our business. Texas, because, you know, they have a lot of money to throw at companies. They're throwing free land, money, you know, lots of things, lots of incentive packages going to companies that want to locate in Texas. When we first talked to them, you know, it was, well, we're not going to have huge, we're certainly not doing free land. We don't do huge incentive packages in Oregon. It's not part of our makeup here. There's little bits that we can do, but there's not a lot. That's not how we do business here. But what you will get here is a highly skilled, trained workforce, and you can hit the ground running if you locate here. And And they truly believe that, and that is the case. We had a very, very strong industry here in Lane County up until the recession hit a few years back. And when the recession hit, those companies went back to Indiana and places back there where they also have a very strong presence. They were consolidating, you know, when the recession hit and feeling that as much as anybody else was. And so, unfortunately, here in Oregon, in Lane County, we suffered, you know, really devastating job losses and closures because of that. But our employees are still here and ready to get back into this industry. And so, yes, that was a huge factor in as to why they located here. I have to also give a shout out to one of our partner organizations, Lane Workforce Partnership. They went to bat when we found out that the Winnebago was interested in retaining those 35 employees that were at the Country Coach facility currently. Our partners over there, Christina Payne and others, went to bat with them and got some training money to assist retraining those employees so that they could, you know, understand and better and be even just that much better employees for Winnebago. So workforce is a big deal for everybody nationally. And the fact that we can compete with that with a really highly skilled workforce is a huge benefit to us.
Well, that's great. So this is the Beau's Nose Show, and we are currently talking with Sarah Case, the Economic Development Officer for Lane County. And if you want to get in on the conversation, just call 646-721-9887 and press 1, and that'll put you in the queue. So shifting gears a little bit, Sarah, we just got a text from somebody. Actually, let's go back to Monaco. We got a text question wondering, wanting to know if Winnebago is going to be around for a long time, unlike Monaco was. And I think we kind of touched on that a little bit, but Winnebago is kind of the most conservative guys in the RV industry when it comes to business practices, from what I understand. But could you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely, you know, certainly a household name and have been around for decades. You know, they're making a pretty significant investment here in Lane County, upwards of $20 million. This is really, you know, it's not something that the company necessarily has fully discussed with us in terms of their long-term strategy. You don't come into a community and make a $20 million investment and not have plans to stick around for a while. I mean, that's usually the case. They're not, you know, they're looking at some enterprise zone benefits and that sort of thing. You know, they didn't get, when you think about what they could have gotten from other locations, the quote-unquote incentive package that they got here was really very minimal. It's not... Their plan is to stay here. They're making a significant investment, and they're not going anywhere. And to be perfectly honest, they've got plans to purchase even more property. It's in the works. So I just don't see them going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, and my understanding is they've always played kind of a conservative role where they didn't expand quickly. They didn't expand into other states as fast as some of the other RV manufacturers did when the sales were going good. And when things kind of crashed in 2008, they were the ones that weathered things the best. And, you know, the fact that they're ready to expand now and they're such a conservative company, I don't see this as a rash. We're going to get in here, open a plant, start building RVs, and then the first sign of a little bit of trouble, we're going to pull back away from it. They seem like the kind of people that wouldn't have decided to open a plant here unless they felt they could sustain it, which I really appreciate about the Winnebago folks when I talk to them.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the message that we've been given, and so I understand sort of the thought process behind that and the question, but I just really don't see that as being an issue.
Yep. So in other news, we were talking about workforce just recently. Avago Technologies decided to purchase the Hynix factory for a possible future expansion. They're currently doing a lot of work in Fort Collins, Colorado. I think they got their U.S. headquarters in San Jose. Kind of interesting that you can get to both places nonstop, more or less from Eugene airport.
That might maybe strategic, yeah.
But they chose to purchase the Hynix building partly because it was just a fire sale deal, somewhat, for a building of that size, but also because when I talked to them, it was about workforce that's here in Lane County also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yes, the operations that Hynix had when they were here, it's not exactly the same as what Avago will be doing. They're producing different sorts of widgets, if you will. But the skills, the technical skills that are needed, that Avago needs in sort of ramping up their operations here in Lane County, are going to be very similar to what Hynix had in their employees and trained up their employees with. And those employees are still here. So, there's a lot of folks that are underemployed right now who have those skills and can get put back to work in a career path that will be very beneficial and utilize all of that training that they already have, and not continue with a cycle of sort of what we call this underemployment. So it's very exciting. We're not talking about Hynix had, if I'm remembering correctly, upwards of a couple thousand employees when they were here at their peak. And we're not necessarily there yet with Avago. This is going to be sort of a staged process for them, but there's certainly the possibility to get there. And so, we're really excited about that possibility.
Yeah, it's another traded sector manufacturer that's going to bring wealth into our community. And I really appreciate you bringing that up about the traded sector, because one of the things, people don't understand sometimes is, you open another something that's service related, tourism or, some other service related industry, you're actually just kind of trading wealth within your community. So it's kind of like you're taking the pie and cutting it in pieces, but switching the places, the pie, taking one piece of pie out and moving a piece in its place and then putting it in the other place. So it's kind of like you're not really growing the pie. You're just moving the pieces around. When you have something that's traded sector like that, you're actually, taking something of less value, adding value to it, and then selling it to somebody outside of the community and bringing that added wealth back into your community. So it grows that pie. And that's what, those dollars have much more value in our local economy than a service industry where, not to diminish, service industry is very important to our economy, but that traded sector job or any sort of economic development that brings money from outside of Lane County or outside of Oregon to this area is really about, growing the wealth here. And then that makes, everybody, then people that are getting that wealth from outside can spend money in the service sector. They can go to the restaurant and buy dinner versus, staying home and eating on the cheap or something like that. That's really, how the whole economy grows is those traded sector jobs. So
yeah, exactly. And that's why you'll hear me and and others in this field, we constantly talk about traded sector, and it's not something that, you know, it's certainly not a common term that everybody fully knows or understands. But I mean, really, when you describe it, I always like that pie example because it allows folks to really understand, you know, it's growing the pie. It's not import substitution, which is another really, you know, fancy term that I'll throw at you. It's not trading the same dollar around. You know me, Jay. I'm very involved in local foods and the work that Lane County has been involved in around the food industry. And that's a really classic example of you can have both traded sector economic development in that industry. You know, you can have, mm-hmm. you know, our food processors who are taking raw input from here locally, you know, doing some sort of value-added product and then exporting it out to the rest of the world and bringing in those new dollars and that new wealth and enhancing our tax base. That we love that. We absolutely love that. But then there's also the other side of the equation, which is equally as important, which is what we call import substitution. And in that, we see, and the food industry is another really great example of this. So, like, farmers markets, for example, your farmers come in and sell produce or whatever it is that they're selling to local citizens who may have otherwise purchased it from the grocery store down the street who got it from Mexico. So you're capturing that leakage, which is also important, but it doesn't necessarily grow the pie as fast as the traded sector. Component. And the other really important point to make about traded sector is that the wages are, you know, for the most part, significantly higher. And that at the end of the day, when we're looking at businesses and wanting to assist businesses and particularly the businesses that are asking for assistance from us, the way we sort of prioritize how we do things is, you know, we don't like to say no to folks. We want to be able to assist everybody that we can, but we don't have unending resources either. So to be strategic about things is we really have to think about the traded sector component and because that you know, it helps grow the tax base, it helps enhance our economy, brings in new wealth. It also has that wage factor, and at the end of the day, our, you know, mission here is to make sure the citizens of Lane County have access to jobs and family wage jobs.
Yeah, that's great. So we've talked about, you know, the two recent examples where we're bringing companies in from outside. What about where we're actually helping a local company to grow and be successful? I know you're great. You've been greatly involved in the food industry quite a bit, but you know, I even look back to our last two grants we did of video lottery money, and one of the things that was involved in the Winnebago location is the board voted to provide $100,000 of video lottery money for infrastructure costs. And people look at that and go, well, why are we always giving money to outside firms? But the last two grants that we did recently was $40,000 to a local trucking firm in the Florence area to help retain jobs here in Oregon, in Lane County. And then also we did $50,000 to the Maine project specifically to help entrepreneurs in rural areas. So what else are we doing to, you know, help our local small businesses grow and hire people and even some of our local larger businesses? You know, I know we've given money to everyone from Ninkasi to, you know, Camas Country Mill to Hummingbird Wholesale. So there's been lots of local businesses that have benefited from video lottery funds, but there's other tools we use too. So talk about helping local people.
Yeah, so you know, that's a really great point, Jay. And a lot of times, you know, the a lot of the attention gets paid to some of these new companies, bigger companies that are coming into the area. But, you know, the point that I made earlier, and I think, you know, we really need to talk about more, is that the majority of the work that we do here at Lane County Economic Development is local business development. And when I say local business development, it's assisting businesses who are already here, who are creating 80%+ of the jobs that are in Lane County already. I just pulled up some talking points that I had actually given our county administrator a couple of days ago around some statistics that we pulled for the last 2 years that coming out of our the Economic Development Division. And they're really, honestly, for a two-person division, they're pretty amazing. I mean, if I can toot our horn for just a minute, I mean, I'm going to do it right now, because you've got two staff people working in this division full-time covering a county the size of the state of Connecticut. And these are just some really, really great numbers. So over the last 2 years, the Board of County Commissioners have provided financial support to 20 businesses. And I think 17 or 18 of those 20 businesses were local businesses already here in the community. That has been a total investment of $1.1 million. That's our video lottery funds. To help facilitate over 1,000 jobs. So that's an average investment of just over $1,100 per job in Lane County over the last 2 years. That is really incredible. So the federal government, they expect maybe for one job they're going to invest, I don't know what the number is now, but it used to be like $30,000 or something like that. So the fact that we're getting an investment of just over $1,100 per job that we've helped facilitate either come here or retain is really incredible. So, you know, we're doing that through our video lottery funds, which are specifically earmarked for economic development. We cannot use those monies for anything outside of what's defined statutorily as economic development. But we're never really doing this on our own. And, you know, the point that I really want to make time and time again is that economic development is all about relationships and partnerships, and we have some really great partners in our area that come to the table every single time. So we're leveraging much like we did with the Winnebago deal and and I think eventually with the Avago deal, Business Oregon funds. So that's the state agency on economic development, and they have different pots of money that they're able to use to help local businesses and also in recruitment. We leverage training dollars through our local workforce investment board, which is the Lane Workforce Partnership. They're great partners that we always have at the table. There's always on-the-job training funds or layoff aversion funds or whatever is most applicable, but they're always working to help us find those resources in terms of training. We recently invested, the Board of Commissioners recently approved an investment in RAIN, which is the Regional Accelerator and Innovation Network. So we've invested in RAIN, but really what RAIN is a resource for entrepreneurs, and they're a fabulous resource. Caroline Cummings is our local contact for RAIN, and she is out in the communities, and in particular, the funding that we proposed and that the board approved for RAIN is earmarked for rural outreach for RAIN, which is very, very important to us. You know, Eugene and Springfield, I think a lot of folks think that, you know, and it is true, they get a lot of attention from a lot of people because there is a lot of things going on here. But the rural communities in Lane County need our support even more than the metro area here in Eugene, you know, my opinion. And so we're doing a lot of work in our rural communities to make sure that as we come out of this recession, that they're not just even that much further behind.
Well, that's great. So besides, you mentioned video lottery money, and you mentioned some of the tools that Business Oregon might have available. What other tools do you use in trying to encourage businesses to invest or expand? International Paper asked for an enterprise zone for some plant they were going to install. And talk a little bit about enterprise zones and their role in economic development and part of being part of your toolkit.
It's probably the biggest tool in our toolkit that we have, to be perfectly honest, Jay. Enterprise zone benefit is it's a tax abatement on improvements made on property. It's a state program, and not every community has an enterprise zone. Although I would say the majority of the communities in Lynn County do have that benefit. So essentially when a business either here locally wants to do an expansion, or a new business coming to town is going to locate in an enterprise zone and do some development work, they by right have the opportunity to apply for a 3-year exemption, property tax exemption on the enterprise zone. And I am not the technical person behind that. Oh, don't get too technical on me here. But I know just enough to be dangerous. But, Winnebago, yes, you mentioned there's a number of companies that have actually recently taken advantage of that, IP being one of them. And that was huge with IP. They are doing just insane amounts of they're actually replacing equipment. And the cost on that equipment is more than what any one of us can even fathom. And that enterprise zone benefit was huge for them. And, you know, if I'm being honest, if they didn't get that enterprise zone exemption, I'm not so sure they wouldn't have found an alternative place to do business. So to be able to have that enterprise zone tool in our back pocket is incredibly important. You know, whatever incentive we can give out of our video lottery funds, or, you know, whatever incentive, you know, the state can come with out of, you know, strategic reserve funds or whatever the program might be at the state, really pales in comparison to the enterprise zone benefit. And if, you know, at the end of the day, so let's take International Paper, for example. They could have gone and by right received a 3-year exemption on their project. They preferred a 5-year. So when you do a 5-year exemption, you have to go through a public process with the jurisdictions that are sponsors of the zone. So over in Springfield, it's the City of Springfield zone, but the Lane County Board of Commissioners way back when decided that they were also going to be sponsors, that the two jurisdictions coordinated on that. So when International Paper decided to do this expansion at their Springfield facility and go after the 5-year enterprise zone, they needed to ask both the City of Springfield and Lane County to approve that. So the 5-year enterprise zone gives the jurisdiction some opportunity to negotiate some agreement in terms of, well, you know, they can have this 5-year zone, but then there's opportunity to maybe have the company purchase computers for local schools, help develop a trail that badly needs development, you know, things like that. And so there's a bit of a give and take with the 5-year exemption. International Paper and the City of Springfield and Lane County did negotiate some terms as part of that 5-year exemption. And so, you know, it turns into being actually a really great partnership where we're not giving away everything, but we're able to do some really good things for the community with a business that wants to do some good things for the community.
Yeah. And of course, International Paper is another traded sector business. And what I don't remember the exact figure, but I think it was in excess of $90,000 a year is their average wage.
Yes. They've got a lot of engineers over there at IP, and they pay their employees very, very well. And so, yeah, I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but
it was impressive.
High. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And they've been a great community partner and all that. One of the things, though, that's a criticism about enterprise zones is because you grant this waiver of taxes for 3 or 5 years, we're actually losing revenue to public agencies and all that. But I think, you know, a perfect example is IP. If we hadn't granted the enterprise zone, they may have chosen to invest this money in another community and eventually mothball the plant in Springfield. But even after 5 years, the investment they're making in that facility, and it's tens of millions of dollars, the value of that plant after 5 years will come on the books, so to speak.
Yeah,
it won't be zero.
Yeah, it comes on the tax rolls after the 5 years, absolutely. And I think the other really critical point to make here, Jay, is that the value of the improvements that are existing stay on the tax rolls. So if a company is not going to make an expansion investment, some sort of investment into their facility, you know, you're gonna continue to have, you know, whatever that tax roll benefit, whatever that is, that's gonna continue, right? And my favorite, I think Glenda taught me this: 0% of zero is zero, right? So if they don't do the expansion, then you know, you're gonna status quo. If they do the expansion and they get the enterprise zone benefit, yeah, you're going to have 3 or 5 years where you're not, that expansion, the taxes on the expansion are not going to be on the tax rolls, but the value of the existing facility and property, that remains constant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in 3 or 5 years, the value of the new expansion, the new development, comes on the tax rolls. Now, if you wouldn't have granted that enterprise zone exemption, and maybe that expansion doesn't happen, 0% of zero is zero. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, nothing happens then. You're giving a little, but in the end, you're getting a lot over the course of time. So
And the employment in the meantime, too.
And the employment. You don't get – there's very few exceptions where you can get an enterprise zone and not increase employment. One of them is productivity of the plant. And International Paper did actually take advantage of that particular exemption, but that doesn't happen very often. Most cases, if you're going to get an enterprise zone benefit, you've got to increase employment.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, it's just one of those great tools. So not everyone's going to be making that kind of investment where they're going to be looking for an enterprise zone or even maybe a video lottery grant. What are some of the things that are available out there for small businesses to help them out and maybe get them to, you know, move towards being a medium size or a large business that might want an enterprise zone exemption in the future? But, you know, are there, is there you know, any sort of, you know, loan programs or business assistance or anything, or, you know, you guys may not actually, you know, the county may not actually offer them, but you guys kind of are a clearinghouse sort of for connecting people to these programs. Can you talk a little bit about what's available for local small business?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we don't necessarily offer programs and support for businesses, you know, across the entire spectrum, but, you know, we work in close coordination with all of our partners here in Lane County and statewide. And so I would encourage a small business, you know, if you don't know who else to reach out to, reach out to us and we'll get you connected. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all for this, right? So it just sort of depends on where you're at. But to name a few examples, so NEDCO, the Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation over in Springfield, they're phenomenal. They have a variety of different microloan programs and really flexible sort of programs that are there to help microenterprise, small business. They've got the lending arm. They've got folks that'll help you with your business plan. They've got Sprout for those of you in the food industry and food processing industry. Sprout is a business incubator made specifically for you, and it's just a really great resource. And so, you know, that's one and great partners. Lane Community College Small Business Development Center. Those guys are phenomenal over there. They'll get you through a business plan. They'll get you connected to a resource. They'll get you into classes, business classes, just a variety of different offerings there. And again, would encourage you to if you've got a small business and need some assistance, they're a great place to go. RAIN, we talked about RAIN already. But let's take a step back. FertiLab. So FertiLab is this really phenomenal resource that is really gaining so much momentum right now. They have an office in Eugene and Springfield, but, you know, really very interested in making sure that they're connecting with all of Lane County. They are for, the wantrepreneurs. So those are the folks that have an idea, but they don't know what else to do. Like, so you've got this idea to make these widgets because you know there's a market for them. But what's your next step? FertiLab is the place to go. They're going to help you get through that and give you some resources, really, really excellent resources. And I have to say, shout out to the Board of Commissioners. The board recently, in the last 6 months or so, assisted FertiLab with a grant. And, you know, I think it's the return on investment on that particular grant. I haven't shared this with the board yet, but I've got some numbers from Shula and the people over at FertiLab. It's the return on investment is phenomenal there. So if you're a wantrepreneur, FertiLab is your resource. Once you graduate from FertiLab, that sort of stage, RAIN is a really great place to be. So RAIN, as I mentioned, the Regional Accelerator and Innovation Network, they are folks, they're taking very early stage companies and accelerating them through that early stage process by getting them the resources and the tools that they need, whether that's capital, whether that's mentoring, whether that's, you know, whatever it is. They're here to help these entrepreneurs because, you know, entrepreneurs in the creative class, there are up-and-comers right now. These are the folks that we really need to pay close attention to as our economy evolves over time. And, you know, you're seeing that with tech, software and tech. We have a really, really great industry cluster here in Lane County revolving around tech and software companies. And those companies are, you know, not, I mean, these companies come from all over the place, but the tech companies, you know, there's these guys that started in the garage with an idea and all of a sudden they're, you know, selling off their intellectual property and their company to the next Facebook or whoever, Google, whoever. So these are folks that we're really interested in. We here at Lane County, we don't have that expertise. That's not necessarily the field that we're most comfortable playing in, but we love to be able to support our partners who do make a difference in that field.
Yep, we need to grow that Silicon Shire that we're known as now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yep, and we did manage to connect the Silicon Shire with the Silicon Valley there recently at the airport, which was a nice piece of economic development news, also adding that new airline link. So have we been able to, you mentioned a few tools, but one of the tools out there is, these SBA loans. And isn't there also a revolving loan fund for rural businesses the county put together?
Yes, thank you for reminding me, Jay. As you can imagine, there's a lot of different tools. The county has invested in a couple of different opportunities. The one that you mentioned is the revolving loan fund that we partnered with Lane Council of Governments and the Economic Development Administration. So federal funds matched our funds to create $1 million revolving loan fund. Our priority is to get that money out to rural Lane County and the businesses out in rural Lane County. It's managed by LCOG, but if anybody out there listening is interested in a, somewhat flexible loan fund and needs some gap financing or something of that nature, call me and we'll get you connected with the right people over at LCOG. We really are anxious to not sit on this money. We want it out there working and circulating and doing what it needs to do for our businesses here in Lane County. So there's the Rural Revolving Loan Fund. Some that I want to be able to mention real briefly is the Regional Innovation and Training Network, Regional Innovation Training Fund. And that is a partnership between Lane County and Lane Workforce Partnership. And that one's really focused on the training aspect of things. So companies, industry clusters have this great idea, but there is clearly a gap in the training that's available to their employees. They can apply and to those funds, to that program for those funds, and if you can put a training program together and do maybe even some certification, those funds are potentially available to you. So a couple of different opportunities. We here at the county like to leverage our partners, funding with our partners to grow the pot so that it's not just our money. We put $75,000 into that Regional Innovation Training Fund. Lane Workforce Partnership put $75,000 in. All of a sudden, you've got a $150,000 fund that can go a lot further than just our $75,000. Same with the Rural Revolving Loan Fund. It was $500,000 of our funds matched with $500,000 of federal funds that created $1 million program, which can do a lot of really great things for Lane County.
Well, great. It's kind of interesting about the training fund because, new industries and new techniques seem to be cropping up faster than we can think of nowadays. Who would have thought of an Uber 10 years ago?
Right. exactly.
Or who? Yeah. And there's a relatively new industry coming out for testing marijuana for pesticide residues and et cetera. So I don't know how well trained lab technicians are on handling marijuana, but maybe that's a new thing coming out.
I think we're going to see a lot of opportunities in that field that we weren't envisioning 5 years ago.
Yeah. So, it's amazing how fast our economy changes and jobs, one of the things is, capitalism is constructive destruction in a lot of ways. And there's always jobs that are being lost because they become obsolete, but there's always new jobs on the other end that are coming in. And that's where that training becomes so important to have a workforce ready for those new jobs on the cutting edge.
Yeah, just, absolutely.
Yeah, because I could think of industry after industry that we wouldn't have thought of, even 2 years ago to a certain extent, let alone 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And there's a lot that, I think about when I was a kid and all that, you have to explain to a kid where the origin of dial the phone came from,
My 9-year-old has no idea. But he can also run my iPod and my phone better than I can. So
people that made the dials for phones were probably not currently employed anymore, but the folks that are going to make the chips that select the frequencies for your cell phone to connect to the system on may be employed at the Hynix factory for Avago.
Exactly. And it's our job, I see this as a really critical thing that we do here at Lane County. Our job is to stay on top of those trends and what we see that could be coming at us here in the next 3, 5, 10 years, so that we're on top of it moving forward. We're not thinking retro, we're thinking proactively. And I have to say this to you. I was 5 years ago talking about food processing here in Lane County, was laughed out of rooms. People thought I was crazy. And we are legitimately a player, a driver in the food processing industry here in Lane County now. And not too many people are laughing us out of rooms anymore. So sometimes you gotta take those hits and just know and trust that, hey, we're staying on top of trends. We might be a little early, but you've got to do that. You've got to stay on top of things, because otherwise you're gonna get left behind.
Yeah, we've got some really great infrastructure in Lane County for food processors, just in cold storage and transportation wise. It's a growing industry. So
absolutely.
We only have about 4 minutes left here. Is there something I didn't ask you about you want to cover? And then also, before you go, could you give people your contact information, so that even if you're not the person they need to talk to about their business, you can connect them?
Yeah, absolutely. I just really appreciate the opportunity, Jay, to come on and talk about Lane County Economic Development, all the great things we've been doing here. Shout out, because I'm certain she's probably listening, to Glenda Poling, who is the Community and Economic Development Manager here at Lane County, who literally has 7 days left on the job. She's retiring and leaving a big hole in certainly my heart. I'm going to miss her. And, she has been the driving force behind the vision that we're now able to live here at Lane County Economic Development. And, 5 years ago when she came on the job and I met her, I was already here. She knew what she wanted to do with this division, knew what gaps needed to be filled to make economic development function even better here in Lane County, and she did it. And so shout out to Glenda, because, she has done a phenomenal job over the last 5 years getting this division, where it is now, and we're just excited to be able to keep it going for her in the future.
Yeah, I can't. I'll echo you, and that Glenda has done a fantastic job. I won't bore the audience with the details of what she inherited, but it wasn't a easy thing for her to pick up and rebuild, because she literally had to rebuild some of the programs that either been over promised or let go in poor directions. And she immediately fixed a lot of problems and then has rebuilt it into this agency that is really doing a great job here in Lane County, keeping people employed. So real quick, why don't you give the folks how they can get a hold of you? Whether it's your county email address and a phone number, and it's Sarah Case again, for those folks that are listening.
Yeah. So You know, honestly, best way to get in touch with me is email, and I'm not sitting in my office too often like I am tonight. Email, you can get me pretty much all the time. So email is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H dot Case, C-A-S-E, at C-O dot Lane dot O-R dot U-S. And if that doesn't work, get a bounce back. Do call me, 541-682-6503.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah, for being my guest tonight. And thank you for all the hard work you do helping employ the folks here in Lane County. And I really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get to talk again maybe after some other big news.
Let's plan on it. Some more big news. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Sarah. And that's it for the Bo's Nose Show. See you next week.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. Find out how we're helping others pursue their dreams and declare your own at amfam.com/dreams. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance Company, American Family Mutual Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.